Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. The best football player in the National Football League, who plays currently, at this very moment still, at least, for my beloved San Francisco 49ers, the heart and soul of this football team, the man who carried this team to the NFC Championship game last season, the one-man offense, the whole fucking show, Tyshawn Raekwon Debo Samuel, who literally put the team on his back last year, sacrificed life and limb, gave it everything he had, every ounce of blood, sweat, and tears, put it all on the line, made a difference on a weekly basis. The man who dragged that sorry sack of shit, the human embodiment of crotch rot, Jimmy Garoppolo, Lee Harvey Garoppolo, Jimmy Wilkes Booth, overpaid Trevor Siemian, less shitty Matt Castle, Jacoby Brissett with privilege, Debo Samuel carried and dragged that man all the way to the NFC Championship game last year, playing two positions, playing wide receiver and running back. He made up his own name, his own position, a wing back. He does it all. He threw a touchdown pass last season. He ran for touchdowns. He caught touchdowns. He did it all. He did everything for the 49ers last year. He sold popcorn. He sold tickets. He was a curator at the museum inside of Levi's Stadium. He did everything for the 49ers last season. The identity, the lifeline, the pulse, the conscience of the San Francisco 49ers, Tyshawn Raekwon Debo Samuel, the Swiss Army knife, the most versatile football player in the NFL, the baddest motherfucker on the planet, Tyshawn Raekwon Debo Samuel, has now requested a trade from my beloved San Francisco 49ers. No, this can't be. How can this happen? How did we arrive at this point? No way. We can't lose our best football player in the offseason, coming off a disappointing loss in the NFC Championship game where Lee Harvey Garoppolo, Jimmy Wilkes Booth assassinated his own football team's chances of reaching the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. We're ready made. We're right there. We're right there at the doorstep. The team that won the Super Bowl lost six consecutive games to the 49ers. Debo Samuel mopped the floor with them in three games this season. He scored touchdowns in all three games against the Rams this year. The Monday night game with the season on the line was the first time he played running back this season. He scores two touchdowns in the game. He caught a touchdown and ran for a touchdown. Week 18, game 17, the last game of the season, the 49ers have to win this game to qualify for the playoffs. And what does Debo Samuel do? He throws a touchdown pass to Juwan Jennings. He makes a big play in the fourth quarter to set up an eventual go-ahead score for Juwan Jennings from a touchdown pass from Jimmy Garoppolo. He was kicking ass in that game. The NFC Championship game, he scores on a wide receiver screen to give the 49ers the lead in that game. He scored a touchdown in every game he played against the Super Bowl champions last season. There's no way the 49ers can't get rid of the best football player on the team, the heart and soul, the identity, the conscience, the lifeline, the pulse, the guy who makes it all work, the bread and butter, the straw that stirs the drink, as legendary baseball player Reggie Jackson would say. How did we even get here? What facilitated all this? How do we get to this point where Debo Samuel, on April 20th, 2022, is requesting a trade from the San Francisco 49ers? How did we get here? What happened? Well, according to The Athletic, specifically Dave Lombardi, a 49ers beat writer, he said, quote, "A lot of escalation at play remains shrouded in mystery. On April 9th, one of Samuel's friends indicated on social media that the receiver wanted at least $25 million per year on a new contract, and Debo Samuel himself endorsed that Instagram post. But on Wednesday, the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reported that money is not at the root of the causes for Debo Samuel and that, quote, there are also issues with how he's being used or was used last season as a running back in addition to his wideout duties. So there's obviously a disconnect between those two data points." That is a quote from The Athletic. Here's my two cents on that. I saw this come in last season, and I worried about this. I worried about Debo being used as a part-time running back for two reasons. Number one, how is that going to affect his body? There's a lot of wear and tear, a lot of punishment, a lot of damage playing running back. You're running directly into the defense. There's a reason why most running backs don't make it that long in the NFL. The average career for a running back is about 2 or 3 years. the average running back, even good running backs, great all-time legendary running backs, fall off a cliff by the time they turn age 30 because you take so much beating, so much wear and tear. There's so much punishment being stricken onto your body. Look at Ezekiel Elliott for the Cowboys. Look at his numbers. His numbers have gone down every year since his rookie season. His average yards per carry, his rushing yards, every statistic that is relevant to his position has gone down every single year since his rookie season in 2016. Why do you think that is? Because he plays a position where he gets his ass kicked and beat up every single play, every carry, either rushing the football or blocking a blitzing linebacker. You're getting beat up. You're taking physical punishment on a play-by-play basis as a running back in the NFL. And now the 49ers last season were asking their star wide receiver to also play running back at the same time he's playing wide receiver. And even as a wide receiver, within the framework of the Shanahan offense, due in large part to the limitations of Jimmy Garoppolo, Deebo Samuel's game was largely predicated on yards after catch. Catching a quick 5-yard slant or a 10-yard dig across the middle and taking off and running 40, 50 yards for a big gain, a first down, a touchdown, etc. But in doing that, you also take a lot of punishment. You're getting beaten up. When your game is based around what you do after you make the catch, that all adds up. Deebo Samuel's style of football, as fun to watch as it is, as great of a player as he is, his style of football is not 100% conducive to having a long NFL career. He took last season a lot of punishment, a lot of hits. And he's aware of that. And he made his voice be known that he did not like the way he was used last season. The second reason I didn't like it, the second reason why it gave me trepidation, as fun as it was to watch, like I said, in the games that we were winning, and as cool as it was to see Deebo Samuel play football, watching Deebo Samuel play football is a privilege. It is absolutely invigorating to watch this guy play football with the attitude, the passion, the fire, the grit, determination, the intestinal fortitude that Deebo Samuel played football last season. It was heroic to see what he did for my favorite football team last season. We don't get as far as we got last year without his contributions. He was fucking amazing on a week-to-week basis. He gave everything he had. No shortage of effort. Whatever it took to win. You want me to catch passes? I'll catch them. You want me to take a handoff out the backfield on an outside zone running play and score a touchdown in a wild card playoff game against Dallas? I'll do that. Whatever you need, coach, I'll do it. He put it all on the line for the team last year. But as fun as it was to watch, in the back of my mind, I felt like this is detrimental to his career. And my second point is, I hope the Niners don't try to leverage all that against them in contract negotiations. And it seems like that might be what's happening right now. Now, let's make this clear. Deebo Samuel is still on his rookie contract. He was a second-round draft pick in 2019. He is entering the final year of his rookie contract, which would pay him $3.986 million per year per Sportrack. So he still has one more year. He's still under contract for the 49ers, but he's already in the mindset to negotiate for a brand new contract. And what better time to try to leverage yourself for a new contract coming off a stellar 2021 season where you did everything for the 49ers. Last season, Deebo Samuel had 365 rushing yards, the most for any wide receiver in the NFL. 8 rushing touchdowns, also the most for any wide receiver in pro football. 1,405 yards, 5th most among all wideouts in the NFL. 1,770 yards from scrimmage, 2nd only to Indianapolis' Jonathan Taylor in the NFL. And 14 touchdowns from scrimmage total, also 2nd to Jonathan Taylor in the NFL last season. He was otherworldly last season. Any superlative you want to attach to Deebo Samuel, feel free to do so. Any positive adjective to describe the way he played football last year for the 49ers, go ahead and attach it to him. He was incandescent last season for the 49ers. But because he was so incandescent, because he played at such a consistently high level, because he was the 49er offense last season, he's looking for a new deal. And it makes matters worse. What doesn't help is when you go down to Jacksonville, Florida, and that fucking scumbag Trent Baalke, formerly of the 49ers, former GM and president of the San Francisco 49ers. He hurt this team during his tenure here in San Francisco about a decade ago with his penchant for drafting crippled college football players who couldn't even walk on draft day. He took Marcus Lattimore, former running back for the South Carolina Gamecocks, a great running back in college, until one day in a game versus the Tennessee Volunteers, Marcus Lattimore's knee did the Harlem Shake. His knee exploded. His ligaments were turned into spaghetti. The entire world knew it was going to be a long time, if ever, for this guy to come back and play football. Doctors, medical experts, everyone around the situation said it's a long shot for this guy to even play. He almost lost his leg because he damaged a nerve behind his knee, behind his leg. He almost had his leg amputated. And Trent Baalke said, fuck it, I'll draft him anyway. We'll just redshirt him. Marcus Lattimore never played a down for the San Francisco 49ers and unfortunately had to retire. And it didn't stop there. There was a number, a plethora of other guys that Trent Baalke decided to draft who the previous season in college football tore their ACL, tore their Achilles, broke their leg, whatever. He took them anyway, and none of those guys ever did shit for the 49ers. Trent Baalke was the architect of a football team that spiraled out of control and fell into the dregs of the National Football League, finally bottoming out in a miserable, pathetic, morbid 2016 season where they went 2-14 under the stewardship, under the guidance of Chip Kelly, an awful NFL head coach who was matched only by an awful NFL GM and Trent Baalke. And when you add all that up, you get a perfect storm of shit in a 2-14 garbage-ass 49er football team in 2016 that gave up an NFL league record all-time of rushing yards on the ground from the opposing team, 137.5 yards per game. The 49ers gave up on the ground to opposing teams. That team sucked. That 2016 49ers squad, I'll go ahead and say it, that was the worst football team I've ever seen play for the 49ers. They sucked. That is the worst 49er football team ever. The 2016 49ers, the drizzling shit, garbage. That is why that 2016 49ers squad is why I've spent the past 6 years cursing out idiot, redneck, dumbass football fans who say, oh, Colin Kaepernick sucks. He can't play. Look at his win-loss record his last season in the NFL in 2016. The 49ers sucked. They were garbage. It was all Colin Kaepernick's fault. Fuck you. You're not a 49er fan. You don't watch the 49ers as close as I do. Or maybe you might be a 49er fan, but you're probably a fucking racist. And you either don't know or won't admit the real reason why that 49er squad in 2016 was 2-14 and the worst team in pro football that season and so uncompetitive and so so devoid of talent. That was an anonymous roster, a hodgepodge. Like, who the fuck are these guys? It was Colin Kaepernick throwing like Torrey Smith, Vance McDonald, Jeremy Curley. Who the fuck are these people? Are they playing in the USFL, the XFL? That's a witness protection football team. And Trent Baalke put that team together. And now Trent Baalke is taking his reign of terror to Duval County, to Jacksonville, Florida, is now ruining that football team, to which I originally didn't care because I'm not a Jaguars fan. I'm a 49er fan. If you want to fuck up someone else's franchise, be my guest. But Trent Baalke gave Christian Kirk a pretty good receiver, a decent NFL wide receiver, but the bottom line is he's not a number one. He's never caught over 1,000 yards receiving in one season. He's never had double-digit touchdowns in a season. But Trent Baalke, in his infinite wisdom, gave Christian Kirk 4 years, $72 million with $37 million guaranteed. When this happened, mayhem ensued, anarchy, pandemonium, in the NFL, in particular at the wide receiver position. Christian Kirk is a good NFL receiver. There's nothing wrong with Christian Kirk. He's a nice football player. If you have Christian Kirk on your team, you're doing okay. He's a key contributor. He can play. I'm not trying to slander Christian Kirk. I'm just using him as an example. When other receivers in the NFL who are better than Christian Kirk saw the amount of money he was getting, it was like, okay, he's getting that. Now, what the fuck am I going to get? Because I'm better than him. And Jacksonville gave him a lot of money, 4 years, 72, 37 guaranteed. So Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Deebo Samuel all looked at that situation and said, well, he got paid. Now it's time for me to cash in. And that's exactly what happened for 3 out of 4 of those receivers. Devontae Adams got a 5-year deal for $142 million from the Las Vegas Raiders after being traded to the Raiders by the Green Bay Packers. Tyreek Hill came across a 4-year deal for $120 million with an extension of $72.2 guaranteed. The Buffalo Bills agreed to a four-year extension with Stephon Diggs worth a reported $104 million with $70 million guaranteed. So from Deebo Samuel's perspective, he's probably looking at the situation and saying, well, wait a minute, those brothers got paid. Now, where's mine at? It's time for me to get mine, and rightfully so. I have no issue with players, especially football players, advocating for the most amount of money they can possibly get. You have to know your worth, not just for athletes, for anybody in general. For whatever job you work at, whatever 9-to-5 you got, you should know your worth. If you're in a position to negotiate a contract and someone asks you, hey, how much do you want? What do you think is a fair compensation? You should start with the most amount of money you can possibly get. No lowball yourself. Know your worth. Know your value. Understand who you are. If you know you can get 30 an hour, don't go in there talking about, well, I'll be cool with 21 an hour. No, fuck that. If you know you can get 30 an hour, get 30 an hour. If you have certain credentials and a certain level of expertise and you've been places, you've done things, and you are more than qualified for that job, ask for the most amount of money you can get. Now, whether or not someone wants to give you that money, that's a different story. But at the very least, you should advocate for yourself and ask for the most amount of money. So I have no issue with a football player wanting to cash in. With the shelf life of football players, with the average career span being what it is, and as I detailed earlier, with Deebo Samuel's physical style of play not being 100% conducive to a long career, combined with the season that he had last year, why not? If you're in his position, why not ask for the most amount of money? When you see other guys getting broke off, you see other guys getting paid, you see other brothers cashing in, go get your money. I'm not even mad at it. At the same time, from the organization standpoint, I understand why they might be reluctant to give Deebo Samuel that money. There are durability concerns. He's never played a full season. And when I say full season, I mean every fucking game that's on the schedule, whether it be a 16-game season as it was in years past, or starting with last season and going forward, a 17-game season. Deebo Samuel has never played every game of the season. He played 15 games in 2019, started 11 of them in 2020, played 7 games, and last season he played 16 out of 17 possible regular season games. He broke his foot in the offseason before 2020. He's had hamstring issues dating back to his days in South Carolina. He's had injury concerns combined with the way he plays football would give me pause, would give me trepidation. As much as I love Deebo Samuel, I would hesitate to give him $25 million a year because I don't know if he can even hold up or last that long. And I love Deebo Samuel. I'm one of his biggest fans. I said on his podcast last year during the season when he was wrecking shit and kicking ass and leading the 49ers to win after win after win after a 3-5 start where he carried us to the playoffs and eventually the NFC Championship game. I said on pretty much every podcast, they should build a statue outside of Levi's Stadium of Deebo Samuel already. They should build a number 19 statue outside the stadium. He was that good last year. But this is a business. There's a salary cap in pro football. This is about dollars and cents. Do you really want to commit long-term $25 million a year to a guy who may or may not hold up with the way he plays football? That's a conversation that they got to have, that they probably already have had over there at 49er headquarters. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, Jed York. That's a conversation that I'm almost 100% certain has taken place. Now, once the reports came out today that Deebo had requested a trade, other reports and other stories came out throughout the day that the Niners aren't exactly in a hurry to accommodate him on that trade. Peter King, Matt Maiocco, two highly respected, reputable sources around the NFL, two NFL lifers. Matt Maiocco is the god out here as far as Bay Area football is concerned. If you want to know anything about the 49ers, well, then Matt Maiocco is your guy. And Peter King, like I said, long time affiliated with the NFL on NBC Sports, Sports Illustrated, well connected. If he says something, most of the time it's probably true. These are people that are well-connected to the league. They have insider sources. They know the right people. They have conversations with the right people. So if they say something, as far as that's concerned, I'm probably going to take their word for it. I trust them enough. They haven't lied to me enough times yet to make me give up trust and give up hope on them and not believe what they say and not take their word for things. So when I hear stories that the Niners aren't trying to move or not anyway in a hurry to move Deebo Samuel, Yeah, I can buy that. I mean, these are the 49ers, man. This is a weird organization as far as the front office is concerned. They put out fake stories. They're bluffing about things. They're wishy-washy in front of the public. Go back to last season with the quarterback controversy, with the Trey Lance situation and Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, we love Jimmy, but we just drafted his replacement. Jimmy Garoppolo is our guy, but we just spent 2 first-round draft picks to move up in the draft and take the guy who's going to take his job. But we love Jimmy Garoppolo, though. This is a weird and awkward organization. And truthfully, if I were in their shoes, if it was up to me, and I knew Debo wanted a trade, I would acquiesce to that trade. I would move him. I would do that. I would, as long as I can get back in return what Kansas City got for Tyreek Hill when they traded him to Miami, I would definitely trade him. The 49ers don't have a first-round draft pick this season. The Niners don't pick until pick number 61 in the second round. Our first-round pick went to Miami in the aforementioned Trey Lance deal last season. Miami then took that draft pick, which would have been number 28, and flipped that to Kansas City in exchange for Tyreek Hill and a few other draft picks that were also sent to Kansas City. That's the kind of exchange I want for Debo Samuel. Anything less would be uncivilized. As awesome as a football player as he is, you got to get something back in return for him. And this is a wide receiver-rich draft. There are some quality receivers coming out pretty much every year in the draft. I mean, you look at Debo Samuel's draft class, 2019. Him, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, D.K. Metcalf, they were all in that same draft class. This has been a trend in the NFL for the past couple seasons. Young wide receivers coming into the NFL and making an immediate impact. Ja'Marr Chase with Cincinnati, Justin Jefferson with Minnesota. You know, C.D. Lamb has done some nice things with Dallas. Jalen Waddle from Miami last season had a great year. Devontae Smith was pretty good last year for the Eagles. What I'm saying is a lot of really good wide receivers are coming into the NFL and making an immediate impact. To me, it's an expendable position. And I've been having this conversation with people in regards to Debo Samuel and Nick Bosa, who's also on a rookie contract, and his deal is coming up soon after this season's over with. And people will present the hypothetical of, if you had to pick between Debo and Nick Bosa, who would you pick? With no hesitation, I said Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa plays a premium position. He's an edge rusher in the NFL. Those are not easy to come by. We are not seeing a run of great edge rushers come into the NFL and make an immediate impact. A few of them here and there, but not to the level of what you're seeing with the receivers. The receivers are coming in and making an impact from day one. Edge rushers, not so much. In my opinion, the three most important positions in football all revolve around the quarterback position. The quarterback, his left tackle, whoever's protecting his blind side, and edge rusher. I mean, think about it. There was a book and a movie about this, the blind side. And the book and the movie both begin with Joe Theismann having his leg destroyed by Lawrence Taylor on Monday Night Football in 1985. That illustrated everything I'm talking about. You have your franchise quarterback who had his career ended by an outstanding edge rusher because the starting left tackle, in that instance, Joe Jacoby, was out, didn't play in that game. His backup was on the field. His backup is trying to block the greatest linebacker, the greatest outside linebacker who ever played football in Lawrence Taylor, and we saw the results. To me, that is the ultimate illustration of what I'm talking about. Football revolves around three positions: quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher. If I can get those three positions taken care of, I got a pretty good chance of winning football games. I need my franchise quarterback, my star, to carry my franchise for the next 10 to 15 years. Hopefully that's Trey Lance. I need someone to protect him. And on the other side of the ball, I need someone on my defense to go get the other team's quarterback. Quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher. And for all those reasons, I would take Nick Bosa over Debo Samuel. As much as I love Debo Samuel, Nick Bosa is a great football player too. And he plays a premium position. So in that hypothetical, if it were to come down to Nick Bosa and Debo Samuel, 10 times out of 10, with all due respect to Debo Samuel, I'll say Nick Bosa, only because of the position that he plays. But based on today's news, it seems as if Debo Samuel's already made the decision for the 49ers. So now the question becomes, well, if you were to move Debo Samuel, if you were going to trade him, where do you trade him to? To me, the number one answer, the most obvious answer, the New York Jets. This is a team devoid of weapons for the most part. I know they took Rondale Moore in the second round last season, but you got a young rookie quarterback in Zach Wilson. Not a whole lot of weapons around him. outside of Rondale Moore, who had a decent year, Corey Davis, okay, you could slide him to number three. You bring in Deebo Samuel, he's your number one guy. And you got Mike LaFleur over there, formerly of the 49ers. So he's the offensive coordinator for that team. They run the same offense. They run the Shanahan offense. Robert Saleh, former defensive coordinator for the 49ers. He's familiar. They're all familiar. He and LaFleur are familiar with Deebo Samuel. To me, that's the most natural fit. And the Jets have two first-round draft picks, a 4 and a 10. Now, would they be willing to give up either a 4 or a 10 for Deebo Samuel? That remains to be seen. I don't think that would happen. More than likely, they would probably give up a second-round pick for him. But you never know. It's the Jets. I mean, the Jets do weird-ass things. And the Jets are also desperate. And the Jets have been complete shit for about a decade plus now. And the Jets went after Tyreek Hill, missed out. He went to Miami, of course. So they need a number one receiver. Like I said, you have a young quarterback in Zach Wilson who struggled last season, and it would help him out if you had weapons around him, and not just any weapon, but the ultimate weapon in Deebo Samuel. Another potential trade partner to me could be Indianapolis. They are also devoid of weapons. You have Michael Pittman. You have a 75-year-old T.Y. Hilton and nothing else. You bring in Deebo Samuel. That'll make life easier for your new quarterback, Matt Ryan. That'll open up your offense. That can also complement Jonathan Taylor. Imagine Jonathan Taylor and Deebo Samuel as teammates. Whoa. That'll be scary. In the AFC South, AFC in general, that'll be something to watch. That would be very interesting. If that were to happen, Jonathan Taylor, Deebo Samuel on the same team, that's a hell of a 1-2 punch. And like I said, that would make life very easy for Matt Ryan. How about the Philadelphia Eagles? Philadelphia is always looking for a receiver. They have drafted a receiver in the first round the last two drafts. 2 years ago, it was Jalen Reagor out of TCU. Last season, Devontae Smith out of Alabama. Speculation is they're going to draft another wide receiver because Jalen Reagor really hasn't worked out so far. A couple years ago, they took J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford. The Eagles have been looking for an elite wide receiver for a long time, really since Terrell Owens, or I should say since DeSean Jackson. They've been looking for an elite playmaking wide receiver. And to surround Jalen Hurts with as much talent as possible, they've committed to Jalen Hurts. He's their guy going forward. He showed promise last season. He has areas to improve, but I thought overall he played well enough given the circumstances. He's not surrounded by a whole lot of talent. You got Dallas Goedert at tight end, Devontae Smith outside, running back situation, Boston Scott, pretty decent running back. But overall, not the greatest amount of talent, not the greatest wealth of talent around him. You add Deebo Samuel to that mix, it'll make life easier. It'll speed up his development for Jalen Hurts, who I believe in. I think Jalen Hurts is a decent NFL quarterback with a lot of potential and a lot of room to grow, a lot of things to like about Jalen Hurts. That all remains to be seen. So I want to close on this. This is directed at other 49er fans, racist, redneck, douchebag, cocksucker 49er fans. A few weeks ago, when this whole fiasco started, really, Deebo Samuel had, I guess, wiped out any affiliation, any reference, any mention to the 49ers on his social media pages, and that drew the ire of 49er fans. That caused widespread panic out here in the Bay Area. A lot of people were, you know, shitting bricks over that. Because nowadays, in the age of social media, that's how a player communicates that they're no longer fucking with the team that they're currently playing for. Kyler Murray did the same thing with the Cardinals. He wiped out any mention of the Arizona Cardinals across all of his social media platforms, IG, Twitter, Facebook, wherever the fuck, WhatsApp, TikTok, who cares? Deebo Samuel did the exact same thing for the 49ers, and like I said, it caused widespread panic, but also revealed a lot of closet racists among the 49er fan base. About a week after that happened, Deebo Samuel went live on IG and admitted and said that he has now been receiving death threats from alleged 49er fans, death threats to a football player who wants to control his narrative and also make as much money as he possibly can and try to cash in off of one of the best seasons in NFL history where he had to play two different positions. To me personally, I see no problem with that, as I've already said, but a lot of folks who think mayonnaise is too spicy and kiss their dogs in the mouth and will ask out loud, why is there a Black History Month and not a White History Month? A lot of people like that, people of that ilk, were probably the ones sending Deebo Samuel death threats because he wanted a better contract. How ridiculous is that? Let me ask a question. How come so many white people will celebrate someone like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, billionaires, people who have more money than you even need, who are hoarding wealth, who made their money either by handouts to get their company started, Jeff Bezos taking $300,000 from his parents to get Amazon started, or made their money by exploiting middle-class workers for cheap labor. How come people will celebrate someone like that who also don't pay their taxes? Billionaires with too much money who don't pay their taxes get celebrated by regular everyday working class white folks. But when they hear about a black athlete advocating for more money, for a contract extension, for a better contract, to get paid what they're worth for the work that they already put in, when they hear about that, all of a sudden, oh, he's a prima donna. He's a diva. He's all about himself. He's not about the team. Oh, fuck him, man. Well, if he wants to go, he let him go then. Fuck him. We made him. We'll make someone else. He's ungrateful. He's speaking out of turn. Look at this uppity Negro. How dare he? The audacity of this guy, this uppity-ass Negro, to be asking for more money because he sees people who do the same job he does in the same profession cashing out, making all kinds of money. With the market being what it is and with his talent being what it is, why wouldn't he ask for more money? The market has been reset. Receivers are cashing in. Now, the 49ers can do, as I already said, they can trade him. Like I said, this is a receiver-rich draft. You got a guy like Drake London, big physical, stout wide receiver from USC, probably going to be a top 10 draft pick. John Michie and Jameson Williams. You know, those guys are going to be in the draft. Jahan Dotson from Penn State. Chris Olave from Ohio State. Christian Watson from North Dakota State, a former teammate of Trey Lance. All these guys are going to be in the upcoming draft. So, yeah, the Niners could trade Deebo Samuel and then go take one of those guys to try, operative word, try to take his spot and fill his shoes in. If that happens, it is what it is. I understand it. This is a business. What I don't understand, well, I guess I do understand it, but what I don't like is what I should say, is all the hate and vitriol aimed at Deebo Samuel because he's trying to do something better for himself and his family. He plays for the 49ers, but his obligation, first and foremost, is to himself and his family. Now, you can root for the 49ers, as I do, and you can support the Niners, and you can hope they win every game. Hope the Niners go 20-0 and win the Super Bowl every year. That's fine, but a lot of fans, I mean, fan is short for fanatic, and a lot of fans take this shit too far, too seriously. There is no need to be sending death threats to a guy because he's trying to make as much money in his chosen profession as he possibly can. If he doesn't want to play for the 49ers anymore, so be it. God bless him. Good luck to him going forward. I hope he gets paid because he deserves it. He earned it. He worked hard for it. I hold no animosity. I'm in no way, shape, or form bitter about Deebo or any player on the 49ers advocating for themselves and trying to make as much money as possible. It's football we're talking about. This is a collision violent sport. More than any other sport, your play can end on the next play. It is what it is. That's the way it goes. So while you still have the ability to do so, try to get as much money as possible. But what I don't understand, I'll go back to this point. White people, help me understand this. Provide me some clarity. Why is it okay for billionaires to hoard wealth, exploit poor working class people, not pay their taxes, and try to make as much money as they possibly can, take trips to outer space and all kinds of other dumbass rich people shit that doesn't benefit anyone but themselves? Why is that okay? Because I guess because they're entrepreneurs, right? Why is that okay? But if a black athlete wants to make more money, you have a problem with that. We should just shut up and dribble, or in this case, shut up and catch and shut up and run. Be grateful. Be thankful. Be more like Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is not asking for more money, and he's the best receiver in pro football. He was a Triple Crown winner last season. Yards, touchdowns, receptions. He's the best receiver currently active in professional football. He came out yesterday and said he's not going to try to ask for more money and break the market or reset the market. You know what Cooper Kupp is? Selfish. Towards his other wide receiver brethren, you should be trying to reset the market. The name of the game is winning football, yes, but the bigger name of the game is making money. And for you to come out and say you're not going to try to reset the market, you're a team guy, that's bullshit. That's hurting your fellow receivers. Because let's say Cooper Kupp takes less money on his next contract. Well, other teams are going to look at other receivers who are up for a contract and say, well, why should I give you this much? Cooper Kupp's the best receiver in the NFL, and he took less. So you should take less, too. You're hurting your fellow brethren in the league. I was always told that the NFL is a fraternity. Football players, yeah, you go to battle, you go to war every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, whatever the fuck. But once the game is over, you are I would think, on the same page. You're in alignment with each other. You should be anyway. That line of thinking is why the Players Association routinely for decades now gets their asses handed to them by the owners in labor negotiations. Because there's always that one meathead football player that says, you know what, I just want to play. So I'll cross the picket line. I'll go back and play football. I'm not going to advocate for all of us to have a better lifestyle, to be taken care of, for the older football players to have a pension, to have their medical benefits taken care of. I don't care about that. I just want to play football. Guys like Cooper Kupp are detrimental to the cause. The players should be in alignment with each other, in unison, and trying to move forward and get as much money as they possibly can. You guys, you are the product. I don't tune in to see the owners. I'm not watching Jed York play. I'm watching Deebo Samuel play, and Brandon Ayuk, and Trent Williams, and George Kittle, and Fred Warner. The players are the product, and the players are the reason why the NFL is the most dominant sports entity in the world, especially in North America. But you got guys like Cooper Kupp who just want to say, you know, I just want to take a team-friendly deal. I don't want to reset the market. I just want to, you know, I just want to play football. When I heard that, I was like, that's garbage. That sucks. And Cooper Kupp, you do what you want to do. But to me, if I was a receiver in the NFL who had a contract coming up, if I'm Deebo, if I'm A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, D.K. Metcalf, Justin Jefferson in a couple of years, Jamar Chase in a couple of years, Jalen Waddle in a couple of years, if I'm a guy like that in that position, a very good elite receiver in the NFL, and I hear the guy who is regarded as the best receiver in the NFL right now openly saying he's not going to try to reset the market, he'll take a team-friendly deal, I might have to slap earth, wind, fire, and ice out of him the next time I see him. That is complete bullshit. Shut the fuck up. Cooper Kupp is speaking with white privilege. He reminds me of all these broken-ass men I work with in my job who never stand up to management, never advocate for themselves or for all of us, and look at me crazy when I try to do that. When I'm the only voice in the room speaking back against management and advocating for more sick days and more vacation days and an increase in pay and hazardous duty pay during a fucking pandemic. And these guys stand back and look at me like I'm being a crazy uppity Negro. I can't stand that shit. They're content with everything as long as they get free pizza every other week or some dumbass sippy cup. I can't stand that kind of shit. I'm tired of soft, weak, broken-ass people, man. Stand up and advocate for yourself. So with all that being said, I had to go off, man. I had to get that shit. I had to get them rounds off right quick. I had to get that shit off my chest because that Cooper Kupp comment just fucking pissed me off. I was infuriated when I heard that. Like I said, he's speaking with privilege. You can say that. These brothers over here, they can't talk like that. You can talk that way. They can't. That bothered me. Deebo Samuel, we'll see what happens. If the 49ers choose to hold him hostage and not trade him, well, I guess he can either hold out or whatever, or show up to camp this year. He's not showing up for OTAs. He will not be there. Neither will that scumbag Garoppolo, but who cares about him? But Deebo, who knows what's going to happen? Are they going to hold him hostage? Are they going to trade him? My opinion is trade him and try to get a king's ransom back in return from some other team. Like, I'm talking like 4 or 5 draft picks, preferably 2 of them being first-round draft picks for the next 2 years to replace what we gave up to draft Trey Lance. Who knows what's going to happen? We'll take a wait-and-see approach. The NFL season never ends. As I've tried to tell y'all numerous times on this podcast, the NFL is a year-long obsession, a year-long sports, a year-long fascination. It's never over. There's no such thing as an off-season in the National Football League. Either way, it's going to be fun. It's going to give me plenty of material and plenty to discuss on the world-renowned and critically acclaimed Dion Gordon podcast, this platform of which I've created. Now, I'm proud of the work I do, and I'm happy and very much appreciative, always humble, eternally grateful for everyone who listens. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, picture me rolling. I'm out.